Now, Larry asked, why is it you're supposed to, what's the staying up all night thing? I'm going to give two explanations to that, too. I'm into two today. I don't know why. It's Wednesday. No, not a good coordinate. If it was Tuesday, I had a good explanation why I'd give two. But anyway, first of all, the Jews are going to, were told that tomorrow you're going to receive your Torah. They said, great. They went to sleep. They said goodnight. And they overslept. How were they waking up to receive the Torah? Absolutely. God blew on the shofar, the fire, the thunder, everything else that happened around Mount Sinai that morning of Shavuos. So it was all due respect, not very respectful. God said you're going to receive the Torah tomorrow. What did the Jews do? They oversleep. They can care less. So to this day, at least in Kabbalistic terms, there's always a notion that you're supposed to fix the mistakes of the past, called the tikkun. So how do we fix this mistake? We don't sleep tonight of Shavuos. We stay up all night to fix that original mistake. They weren't excited enough that they actually fell asleep so well they overslept. We're excited. We don't sleep tonight of Shavuos. That's explanation number one. Explanation number two to this custom, and again it's a custom, I'm going to suggest myself. The Torah is supposed to be something that excites you. Meaning when you learn Torah like this morning, right now, it's supposed to excite you, with all due respect. So how do you show that it's exciting? I mean, we learn it every day, hopefully. If we don't learn it every day, we hear about it every day. It becomes a little bit of a regular, consistent aspect of our life, no different than brushing your teeth and taking a shower. So how do you show this is a holy Torah and that it's different? On the anniversary of receiving the Torah, what do? We stay up all night. We spend the whole night with it. You want to take a very simple analogy to explain it? Husband and wife in a healthy marriage. Look, once a year is their anniversary. But they hopefully are married the rest of the year. It wouldn't be a healthy marriage if once a year the anniversary they spend the day together and the rest of the year they don't see each other. The same thing is with us with regard to the Torah. It would be a little funny if we have any connection with the Torah that once a year on Shavuos we love it, we cherish it, and the rest of the year we ignore it. So what do? To show that it's the anniversary, and on the other hand we have a consistent relationship, all year long we learn it. Today we're learning it. On Shavuot, it's the anniversary of receiving it. So what do? We spend the whole night with it. We show how much we cherish it, how much we love it. It's a special day. And therefore, we stay up all night to learn Torah. Now, I don't know of any blessing that's given to those that stay up all night. All I could say is it's definitely something that has a lot of merit to it. I have to admit that if you think about staying up all night versus staying up all day, how much more would you learn at night versus all day? What would you think? Probability-wise. Fall asleep more, I think the probability of falling asleep at night would be higher than during the day. So I don't think that whole experience is per se to learn Torah, to really internalize it. It's more to create an experience of excitement around receiving the Torah. So, you know, if you take the night into consideration, on Shavuos we can't daven early, so we have to start Mincha and Maariv pretty late. Then you have to eat the meal. Until the meal is over, it's all washed up. It's pretty much into the night already. It's around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midnight. Sunrise is pretty early this time of the year. So how many hours is that altogether? Maybe 4 hours of learning. Taking into consideration, you want to drink a cup of coffee to wake up. You'll have a little snack. You'll schmooze. You'll kibitz. And of course, you'll say Lashon Hara. And you'll slander. No, how much time is left for the night? Not too many. On the other hand, you learn during the day, you'd be more awake, you'd be more into it. If we decide we're going to have an all-day Shavuos learn-a-thon in the synagogue, from morning to night, after davening, all-day classes, different speakers, I'm sure you'd learn much more. But it wouldn't create any unique experience. It wouldn't create an anniversary kind of a environment, right? If you just stay home on the night of your anniversary and you had a normal dinner, how is this night different from all other nights as a little boy? How do you make it different? Stay up all night instead of during the day. Right? And that's maybe why that custom developed. I have to admit that that custom is a very important custom simply because Jewish people by law don't keep it. However, you have to take into consideration other aspects. Truly receive the Torah on Shavuos, but Shavuos is also a holiday. And you're supposed to celebrate the holiday. I always say that it's not much of a celebration if you're going to stay up all night while your kids and your wife go to sleep, and then during the day you sleep all day while they're wide awake. I think a holiday should be kept within the family.
I would say you have to keep the kids up too.
It's So therefore, I definitely think that you have to take both into consideration. Learning all night is important. Spending the holiday with your family is important as well. And you have to find a way to properly balance the two. On a practical level, the smaller the kids are, the less you're going to sleep during the day. Take that into consideration as well. So these are the various reasons are given for learning all night on Shavuos. Once again, I just want to remind everyone, these are the customs that developed on Shavuos simply because there's no mitzvot. There's no commandments connected with the holiday. It's sort of a parva holiday. No meat, no milk. Parva. And therefore, we try to institute and insert various customs. Like, for example, if you look in the synagogue, you'll see that a beautiful decorating committee of men, actually, decorated the synagogue and filled it up with greenery. Once again, there's two different explanations for this. The first explanation, the simple one is, this is a time of harvest. So we're bringing in greenery into the synagogue, so to speak, thanking God for the time of the harvest. It's really spring, it's summer now. The second reason that's given is the fact that there was a big miracle on the day that the Jews received the Torah on Mount Sinai. What's the definition of a desert? There used to be a song in Hebrew. We used to go on hikes in the desert. We used to sing, Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. We just kept on saying the whole song. Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. Kol HaNegev U'Shmama. The whole Negev, which is the desert in Israel, is one big Shmama. Barren. That's all you see is sand dunes and sand dunes and sand dunes and rocks and sand dunes and rocks and sand dunes. It's pretty boring. That's the natural desert. The day the Jews received the Torah, according to the Negev, it was a very big miracle. Mount Sinai all of a sudden had greenery on it. So remember this miracle, we bring greenery into the synagogue and we dress it up beautifully. It also says that God held Mount Sinai over the Jewish people like a chuppah. So to speak, there's a marriage now between the Jewish people and God. So we put the chuppah above the bima in our synagogue, trying to remember that. So as you can see, we're trying to insert customs upon customs into this holiday for the two reasons I've developed. Number one, it's a holiday that's void of any mitzvot. And number two, it's a pretty short holiday. It's one day, 2 days. It's not significant. People could very easily mistake it. Okay. That's